That was beautiful. We're a little low in numbers today, but we are fierce in spirit. Can I hear an amen?
Amen.
One more time.
Amen.
That's good. That's good. I'm going to tell a little story. You've heard me tell it before, but I'm going to tell it once more because I want to hear it again myself. Dad was preaching at one of the rural churches in Sinking Creek. It was way up in the mountains, and it was the Sunday after Thanksgiving, and it had been a big snowstorm. And we just managed to make it to the church in Dad's 1960 white Dodge Dart, but just barely. And we got in there, and the only other person that showed up was a farmer, and he arrived on a tractor. And Dad went ahead and did the service, and as usual, and got to the end of the service, and the farmer reached for his hat and put it on and started to walk out. And Dad goes, "Well, didn't you think it was a good service?" And he goes, "Yes, but I didn't quite expect it to be so long." And Dad said, "Well, look, you know, when you go out to feed your cattle, you go out there and even just one cow shows up. Just one cow shows up. You still feed them, don't you?" And he said, "Well, yeah, I do, but I don't dump the whole load on them." So I will try not to dump the whole load on you this Sunday. If you will join me now in a moment of prayer. Loving spirit of warmth, humor, generosity, and grace, we give thanks for the blessings and bounty in our lives, all the good gifts, and all the great things you have done and are doing in us, around us, and through us. And may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be beautiful before you. In your many holy names we pray. Amen. I'm glad that y'all are here today. Many are still enjoying a long holiday weekend, and it's an ironically complicated holiday in this country. Made on the foundation of some sketchy harvest celebrations in Virginia in the early 1600s, New England and Virginia actually fight over the first Thanksgiving, which seems oddly fitting, since conflict around the day is not uncommon. In fact, the way the original events are often depicted is in conflict and gives rise to the lie of how indigenous people who tried to help feed their neighbors were often treated in this process. Even to this day, while some open their homes to friends and strangers or spend the day serving meals to the homeless, sharing of themselves freely, Thanksgiving can still be a wonderfully uncomfortable celebration for some among diverse families brought together around a table to share nourishment and air opinions and grievances. Now, in the midst of all this, the actual meaning of the day can easily be lost. It's a day of being thankful, a day to remind us to be thankful. But like having a birthday has a day to mark on the calendar, a day to celebrate and then put behind us, when we are actually constantly aging, changing, and growing more mature, so a day to mark Thanksgiving can easily be just a marker to say, "Well, done that and put it behind us." When giving thanks, I think, should be a daily affair with life, a daily love affair with life. Now, today is the final Sunday of the pledge campaign, and you may pledge or amend your pledge at any time, of course, but this is the time that the board of directors begin preparing the church budget for next year, looking at what this community can realistically accomplish in 2018. Now, this involves not only general ministry, community inreach, community outreach, and supporting a part-time staff, that would be myself and Jorge, but maintaining infrastructure as well. MCC Nova purchased and remodeled this facility to suit its needs 20 years ago, and it has remained largely unchanged ever since. We have new needs now, and so there are several ways we would like to continue to improve and move this facility forward along with this growing community. But none of that is possible without you. Now, on the first Sunday of November, we talked about giving of the precious commodity of time, being present, showing up here. The way you change and move the nature of this space by the very presence of your body and your spirit here, and the way that you are changed and moved by the presence of those around you. Now, this quality of community is an oft-overlooked aspect of spiritual connection and growth, and yet it is something we all can only experience together. and it takes the investment of your time. We try to be respectful of that investment, to celebrate its abundance, but not to waste it. Now, so many times I've heard people say, you know, I almost didn't come today, but I'm glad that I did. Now, my dad would often say that about church. There are times that you just don't want to go, but after you do, you'll be glad you did. That was his commercial. Now, I think good religion should teach us about time, how not to allow our life to just pass us by, how not to live a life filled with empty things. Good religion should lead us away from places of preoccupation and self-absorption and should encourage us to be more aware of the moment in which we live. Your presence here represents an investment in each other. It matters. Even if it doesn't even matter to you, it matters to others. Showing up, it's a part of your offering to this community, and it is not to be devalued. The second Sunday in November, we talked about talent. Giving the gift of your talents and skills. Offering up the things that you've learned in life, as well as practicing the gift of extending yourself, stepping into new areas. Doing things that initially may be uncomfortable to you. Learning to work side by side with others. Very different people in a spiritual context. Realizing what you can teach to other people, often simply by doing and modeling behavior, as well as learning what you can learn from others. Offering your talents and skills freely to the community as offerings on the altar of God. Now, oftentimes in the process of this sharing and working together, we can clearly see the woundedness in other people. Woundedness that we ourselves possess. And in doing so, we may all come closer to holy places of spiritual healing. So, not only being here is important, but doing something here is important. Last Sunday, we talked about treasure, the giving of money and tithing. Something tangible has a spiritual discipline and the lessons that such giving can teach us. The importance of letting go of things and the concept of learning abundance by giving freely. Learning that we do have enough. We have more than enough. As Barbara Brown Taylor reminded us last week, no one longs for what they already have. Yet all that we lack is the willingness to imagine that we already have everything that we need. So, not only being here is important, but doing something here and giving something tangible here, symbolic of the exchange taking place within and without. The common thread running through all of these, of course, is the relationship between how we give of ourselves and how we live, the very spiritual relationship between the way we give of ourselves and the way we live our lives. We learn that giving anything from a place of scarcity, measuring out small amounts as a way of being reflected in the way we measure out and live our lives. Just as giving of ourselves abundantly fosters abundant living. The more we are generous with ourselves and our lives, the more our lives are lived generously. In my experience, those who live life most abundantly are those who also give of themselves to life abundantly. Paul was kind of trying to communicate that to the church community in Corinth with his second letter to them. He was trying to raise funds for the destitute community in Jerusalem, for the saints. Now, early followers called themselves saints. So Paul was trying to raise funds for the saints in Jerusalem who were struggling through a famine. Paul had been soliciting funds for years. Motivating giving can be a challenge. Things really haven't changed very much in 2,000 years. So Paul was visiting the churches and places that were in better financial condition to seek help for those who were not as well off. A big fundraising effort, the Jerusalem Relief Fund. Now, the community in Corinth had already kind of pledged some funds. They had pledged out of their wealth, and Paul wanted to encourage them to follow through on their commitment. For he had used their example to motivate other communities, notably the Macedonians. Now, from 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verses 1 through 5, the verses immediately preceding the pericope today, Paul writes this. Now, it is not necessary for me to write you about the ministry to the saints, for I know your eagerness, which is the subject of my boasting about you to the people of Macedonia, saying that you are ready to give. Your zeal has stirred up most of them, has inspired them. And so I'm sending people ahead of me in order that our boasting about you may not prove to have been empty. So that you may be ready, as I said you would be. Otherwise, if some Macedonians happen to come with me and find that you are not ready, well then, we would be humiliated, to say nothing of you in this undertaking. So I thought it necessary to urge these to go on ahead to you and to arrange in advance for this bountiful gift that you have already promised. So that it may be ready as a voluntary gift and not as something to be wrung out of you. Yeah, that sure puts the reading today into perspective, doesn't it? Paul is not soliciting a fresh pledge, but rather following through on a promise. Paul is not exactly desperate, but he is trying desperately to gather funds to support the communities in Jerusalem, because these were communities that he himself once persecuted. He was using all his powers of preaching to encourage the Gentile converts who have more to help fund the needs of the poor in Jerusalem, those who have less. Now, Paul reminds them, you will harvest in accordance with your planting, and the blessings will come through you to others, others who will offer prayers of thanksgiving for you. It is the good grace of giving all good gifts, a thanksgiving to God. Giving can take us to many places of spiritual growth, but I think one of its end destinations ultimately is a place of gratitude, a place of our own thanksgiving. Living in a place of gratitude rather than existing in a state of want. Living in a state of gratitude rather than existing in a state of want. Today we're challenged to say grace over all that we have. Fred Craddock even offers that gratitude is the central virtue of a Christian life. And I would have to agree, moreover, that it is a virtue of any life well lived, a virtue unlike any other. Like him, I have never known a person who was grateful, who was at the same time mean, small, bitter, hurtful, unhappy, miserable, or hateful. It's true. In closing, we may give a hoot, we may give a fig, we may give a flip, we may give of our time, talent, and treasure, all good gifts. But if you remember nothing else, nothing else from this series, please remember this. The most important thing to give, above all, is thanks. The most important thing to give is thanks. Give thanks this day and every day. So may it be.